perfected until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul talking to the church in Philippi, looking at them saying that God's done amazing stuff within your lives right now. And the one thing I am absolutely certain and confident in is that God is going to continue that thing in you. Paul was just absolutely sure of this fact that God wasn't done with the church in Philippi, and that the journey that he was bringing them on was one day going to come to perfection, fruition, and they would be the church and the people that God intends them and views them to be. He was confident that God was going to continue his work there. Sanctification. That's the term we give it. We're going to look at a few passages this morning and walk our way through them and try and dissect this idea of sanctification in a way that makes it just really simple, but show how important it is. But before we do that, we'll just open in prayer. Our Father, Lord, I thank you for this morning that you have given us. Lord, that you are a good God who has blessed us with so many things. Lord, I thank you that chief among those blessings is that you have chosen to show us who your Son is, that you've opened our eyes to know him, that the knowledge of our Savior, Lord, that has been made alive in our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you that you are at work in us, even in this very moment, to change us to look more and more like the image of Christ. Lord, we pray that you would continue your work in our hearts, Lord, that even through this morning that we would be changed bit by bit from glory to glory to look increasingly like your Son. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ and for your glory. Amen. So sanctification, it's one of those words that we throw, it's a church word, if you will, right? There's a few words that, like, they're church words. And to be quite honest, like, sanctification, that word really doesn't get any airtime outside of the church. You don't walk around the rest of your regular life and throw that word out. Like, it's one of those words that, it's like righteousness or justification, these kind of weighty words that we throw out and sometimes don't really know exactly what they mean, but we know we're supposed to use them in church. And I think sometimes that does us a disservice because some of these words are encapsulating these ideas that are really, truly, profoundly important. If we were to ask the average Christian, like, what is the point of the Christian life? Like, what's the purpose? I think you would get as many different answers as you would ask the question to, or as many people would answer. But I think you would kind of get the skew to a certain area where people would, in general, say that the point of the Christian life is to be forgiven of your sins so that you can go to heaven. I think that would be, in general, probably the predominant answer you would get. And though I think it should be refined a little bit more, like forgive your sins so you can experience new creation, resurrection with Jesus, we're not going to go down that this morning. I'd say that is a wildly important part of the Christian life. Absolutely. Incredibly important. I would argue, though, that I would say that the act of sanctification by which God transforms us is center to the point of being a Christian. That it's not just this hope that life in some point future on after death is like we get to be with God, but that life right now in this moment, we get to look increasingly more and more like God, act more and more like his Son, and reflect who he is in increasing measures. I think that is one of the most foundational, fundamental calls that a Christian is called to image Christ, if you will, to represent him. Sanctification, the process by which we grow to look like Jesus. I decided to just like type into a search engine like sanctification, see what pops up, and then most search engines now have this like AI feature where they'll kind of like force you a response, if you will. And I'm surprised at how good the responses are sometimes. So I just typed in like sanctification, and the AI said, sanctification is the process by which a person is made holy or set apart for God's special purpose. It involves transformation of the heart and mind leading to a life that reflects God's character and love. And I thought to myself, that's actually a really good answer. actually like a little like unnervingly so. Like that's actually like good job, internet. But like that's the point. We are here and God's taking us there to look more like him. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read a passage, kind of quickly work our way through it. Paul here, though not mentioning the word sanctification, is definitely painting the picture of what it is. So we're going to read it, we're going to apply it, we're going to look at it, and we'll take it from there. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where God is seated at the right hand of God, or where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amount to idolatry. For it's because of these things that the wrath of God has come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put aside all anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside your old self with its evil practices, and put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is one of those passages in the Bible that's like it's packed. Like there's a lot jammed into these couple verses. But what Paul is essentially getting at here, what he's writing, is he's putting his finger on the fact that we as people have basically a twin nature, if you will, a dichotomy within us. That we live with a tension inside of us, that we have this old self, he calls it, this old self that is antithetical to Christ, that is contrary to the way of God, and it's marked by selfishness and greed and human desire and immorality and impurity and basically anything that is not of God. That there's within each one of us this desire to indulge in all these things where we want to have the most for us. We want to accumulate the most for us. We want things for ourselves. We want to engage in our passions and our desires. We want to satisfy our own needs. And Paul's acknowledging this. Like this, that's part of the human condition. That part of what it means to be human is to have the desires, these desires that are contrary to God's will for you. Like it exists within you. This is a fact. But, and this is where Paul, this is what Paul's drawing the tension between. It's like, but if you claim to be Christ's, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ and you have given your allegiance to him and you've aligned your life with Christ and you desire to represent him and to live for him and have faith in him and believe in him, then you are also given a new nature, and that nature is aligned with the desires, the will, and the hope of God. And what Paul is saying here is there's those two natures, and the journey that we go on in our Christian life is we go from the journey of this old self towards the new self, where the desires of the flesh slowly diminish and grow smaller, and the desires of God and the character and nature of God grow in increasing measure. And Paul gives the list of kind of like a short, it's definitely not comprehensive, but this short list of what each side looks like. You know, on the fleshly side, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, wrath, slander, malice, abusive language, all these things that like it's not flattering, is it? But if we're honest with ourselves, I know personally, like I can pinpoint those things within my life. They might manifest in different degrees in different ways, but they're there. They're there. And Paul's saying that's who you were. But that's not who you are any longer, because you are now in Christ. And those who are in Christ, they start to look like people who exhibit compassion and kindness and gratefulness and thanksgiving and patience and love. And he starts to list all these things that reflect the character and nature of God. What Paul lists here is basically a description of God's character and nature. God is compassionate and gracious and merciful and kind and loving and good. This is who God is. And as we go from here to here, and these desires slowly decrease and these character traits increase, we become more and more like Christ. That's what we mean when we throw the word sanctification out there. It's that process. It's the process of going from here to there, from being the person we were to being the person God wants us to be. Sanctification. It is truly a beautiful thing. I know in my life personally, if I were to look back a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years, and whatnot, and I had to think of what did I look like then? What was my character like? How did I act? I can definitely see this like this. It has been a progression, a change throughout life. Where thinking to my teen years, where like yes, I was far more like sarcastic with a biting tone. I thought far more of myself and not enough of others. There were elements in me that definitely aligned with what Paul is describing in the old fleshly state. And there's not very many like instantaneous moments in life where something like miraculously changed, but from 10, 20, 30 years ago, whatever it is, to now, there's a marked, I'm not the same person. I'm not the same person I used to be. But I'm also not the person I want to be, right? The journey's still not done. Like the process of sanctification is, it hasn't reached its culmination. I am still in the middle of it. And though the journey has been good and there's been progress, there is still progress yet to be made. And this is exactly what Paul is driving in at. If you are in Christ, point yourself in this direction. Grow in this direction. And as Paul said, and I am convinced that one day it will be complete. That one day, that God who started this good thing in your life is going to continue to nurture it and grow it and increase it. And that you will grow in the reflection of the character of the nature of God and the way you live. That is, I think, what is the ultimate call of the Christian. Like everything else in our journey in the Christian faith, I think, slots in there in some capacity. That everything else that we are called to do kind of fits in with that journey of growing us from who we were to who God wants us to be. And I think sometimes we might have a bit of a warped understanding of how this happens. I'm not one to ascribe like formulas or processes that like this is how God does things. Because in my experience, this might be how God often does things, but it's not always how God does things. Like God is he's far bigger than us. So I always kind of try and shy away from saying, like, here's the formula, this is how it unfolds. However, I do think God does operate in a few general ways. I don't think when it comes to our sanctification, our growth in Christ, our transformation more and more to the image of God, I don't think it happens so much as God, like, just, like, zaps us with his Holy Spirit. It's like, you're a changed person now. Like, this is, like, boom, change that, boom, change that. Like, it's like, sometimes I think we get this image, like, I'm just going to pray a prayer, like, Holy Spirit, change me. Make me more like Jesus. And then you just have to, like, sit down and wait for the divine zap to, like, transform and change you, and then all of a sudden, you're a better person. I don't think that's God's preferred method. In my experience with God, God moves slowly, first of all, and he likes to involve you in the process. And what that often looks like is, let's say you're an impatient person. Let's say I'm an impatient person, and I want to grow in patience because God directly states it. And I pray, God, make me a more patient person. You don't get zapped with patience. God, in his generosity, shall we call it, often gives us the opportunity in which to exercise it, right? And this is how I find that, like, it's God likes to work in the ordinary, where it's like you want to grow in an area, you want to be more Christ-like. Well, let's just give you the opportunity to be more Christ-like and see how that works. You want to be more patient? Well, let's see what happens when you are hungry, a little bit, like, perturbed with the world, you're trying to get home, and you run into someone whom, though you love, do not necessarily want to spend a tremendous amount of time with, and they're talking to you for far too long. What you going to do? Right? And it's such those mundane situations and circumstances that get thrown our way, where it's in that moment, we, as those followers of Christ, we have decisions to make. How do I handle this? How do I exhibit Christ-likeness in this moment? Because my natural response definitely right now is to not be. And yet God has called me to be. Therefore, I have a decision as how I'm going to act. And in some ways, that's far less, like, grandiose and like, interesting as opposed to, like, an instant transformation from God. But, like, it's the way God works in us. He gives us the opportunity to exhibit his character. But that usually happens through circumstances that are difficult or trying or annoying or whatever else it may be. But it's in choosing to act Christ-like in those moments that we do grow in our Christ-likeness. Prayers for humility or for patience or for tolerance or for compassion are dangerous prayers because they're often going to put you in a situation that you're going to have to exhibit that. And yet there's so much beauty there because God's giving us this opportunity to reflect his character and his nature to a world around us and to spread his love and his identity and his personality to the rest of the world, that he entrusts us with that responsibility to image him and to reflect him and to imitate him and to declare who he is to people who need to see it, hear it, and understand it. It's such a beautiful dance between the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit and the ordinary circumstances of life and our decisions to choose to live in a way that aligns with God. That often brings about our growth, our sanctification, and our Christ-likeness. It's incredibly humbling, and yet it's also beautiful. And it also kind of changes the way I look at life, where it's like, well, if I'm here right now and I know I've got however many years left to live, I don't know for sure how many years, but I know that God has given me more time to, at least in this very moment, he's given me this time to use now. However much more he gives, that's up to him. But I want to use that time to grow. Every day he has given me, every day, every year that he will yet give me, I want to ensure that that trajectory still grows towards increasing degrees of sanctification. To look for more and more opportunities to show the world the character and the nature of God. So that 30 years from now, I will look back on myself in this moment and say, I don't recognize that person anymore. That he doesn't look that I won't look the same. I will look more and more like Christ as every day passes. That is the Christian life, the Christian journey. And one of the things that has start to be impressed upon me is I also think it is the most ultimate form of worship. We often think of worship as like singing songs, right? Like we just did, where we sing songs declaring who God is, or we during our breaking the bread service, think of that as a worship service of remembrance. That worship is this like action where we sing or remember or whatever else we do. The way in which we live, I think, has the ability to be the highest form of worship to God. Let's pull a few verses from Philippians again in chapter 3 near the end. Paul's talking, again, doesn't mention the word sanctification, but he's definitely talking about it. I'll pick it up in verse 12 and read to the end of chapter 3. Not that I have attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay a hold of that which I was laid hold of by Christ. So again, he's talking about the Christian journey here, that he's pressing on in the direction, growing in his pursuit of God, his pursuit to image and to look like Christ. I press on toward the goal, the prize, the upward call of Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. If any of you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in me, my examples, and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, and whose end destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. But for your citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our body the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Paul likes to fit a lot into a little bit, and sometimes his sentences get confusing. But what he's saying here in this passage is that he's pressing on. This journey, he's stretching forward, like pressing on the pursuit of Christ. And that one of the things that makes him incredibly sad and brings tears to his eyes is that there are people who were on that same journey and have now turned away. And they have abandoned Christ, and that the consequences for them will be severe. But he reminds those who are pursuing Christ with him that their citizenship is in heaven, and that Christ Jesus himself will one day bring about perfection in their lives. And he ends it by saying that Christ, who has the power even to subject all things to himself. This is a common theme in a lot of Paul's writings, that Christ is the head of creation, and part of Christ's redemptive work is bringing every aspect of creation underneath him, redeeming it, transforming it, changing it, making it subject to him so that he is head of all things. When we go through the Christian journey and we become increasingly more like Christ, as sanctification is at work in us, what is happening in that process is that we are ever more, step by step, bringing ourselves under Christ, where Christ's rule and reign is reaching to every aspect of our life, that he is truly king of everything that we are and do and think and say, that we are his and he is ours in the entirety of it. And that's why when we pursue God, when we grow in the sanctification, when we live our life in such a way that we reflect the character and the nature of God, we are declaring his glory, his worth, his praise, and as a form of worship as we elevate him to his rightful place as King and Lord over everything that we are. It's like when Paul writes that Christ will be head over all creation. A large aspect of that is you and me and our lives being brought in line with who Christ is. And that's why I say that the Christian life lived out in line with the character of God is the greatest form of worship we can offer him. Because we are making the statement that Christ is worthy to be followed and listened to and obeyed, and that his reign over our lives is the best way to live life. And it's a two-way blessing that as we grow in our sanctification, as we worship God, I want you to think about how much that improves your life. So like as you grow in love and kindness and patience, does that make your life better or worse? Right? Like it's God isn't just trying to commandeer our life and to put us in bondage to him and just like have control over us. Like he's trying to set us free and to experience life in his fullness. So like let's say you're an impatient person. How does that impatience infect your life? Does it make it better or worse? And if you start to grow if you start to grow in the way you exert patience around you, does that improve your life or does it make it worse? That as you grow in sanctification, that you become more patient, more loving, more kind, more merciful, more thankful, does your life get better or does it get worse? It gets better. Like every aspect of those makes your life fuller and happier. The times where it's like I don't react to something, but I'm able to be patient with it. The times where I'm able to show love to someone instead of being abrupt or rude or unkind. The times I can be compassionate. First off, I feel better. Like it's like just an immediate feeling. Like I feel better doing that. But also the long-term effects of having deepened relationships and more profound intimacy with my community around me is enriching. God's not trying to make our lives, he's not trying to confine us by saying, I want you to be subject to me. He said, I want you to experience fullness of life that you can't experience elsewhere. I want you to experience every good blessing I have for you. And the best life that you can possibly live is a life that looks more and more like me. So the more we become sanctified, the more we grow in Christ Jesus, the greater the blessing and the richness we experience. Like God is a good God who wants to give us good things. And our sanctification is one of the best things he is trying to give us. Even when you meet that person and you don't want to talk to them, and you're tired and hungry and a little irritated, and they're going on and on about something you're not interested in, and you just want to go and leave, even in those moments where we exercise patience and love, God's blessing is there. He is a good God. As I said, God sees who we are. He sees who we were. He sees who we are. But thankfully for you and for me, he sees the person he wants us to be and doesn't just see it, but has the ability and the power to bring us along in that journey to become that person. And when we surrender ourselves to the transforming work of God and allow him to work in our lives, we grow ever more in the blessing he has for us. The sanctification, It's a beautiful word. It's a beautiful word because God is doing something beautiful in our lives. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the person you have made me, Lord, for who I am today compared to who I was, Lord, I eagerly look forward to the person that you have yet to transform me into. Lord, and the same for all of us here, Lord, that we all have a similar story and we can look back on who we were, Lord, knowing that it is your work in us that brings about the best, the good in us, Lord, that we can't claim it in and of ourselves, but it's you working in our hearts, changing who we are to reflect Jesus more and more. Father, we pray that each one of us here, we would grow in patience and kindness, in love and mercy, Lord, that we would act ever more in increasing measures like your Son. Lord, and that through that, we would bring you worship and glory and praise, and that you would be pleased with the way we live our lives. Lord, we thank you for your work. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for who you are, and pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.